sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys Horror Movie Podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I am Johnny.
Whoa, coming in hot. Are you warm for our next movie in Crash Course, Cronenberg retrospective?
Cronenberg, no boning in this one, so I'm not going to say boning.
There was some mind boning going on.
I feel like almost.
Right.
There was almost something happening.
Not enough sex. First critique. Minus 5 stars. And welcome to the show. This week we are reviewing Scanners. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words. We'll give our first thoughts and then go to a deep spoiler analysis. First, go back to TV Corner. We're reviewing Yellow Jackets Season 3, Episode 5. Did Ty do that? Okay, so this easily wins best title of the year, right?
Because I did deep dive on the research. I'm like, okay, when did this plane crash happen?
Yeah,
Stefan episode happen on Family Matters?
Yeah,
because when they started talking about that, I was like, wait, when did this happen? Because I feel like the Family Matters came out in what, 88? Mm-hmm. And ran until like 90.
The end of 2000. They ran forever, didn't it? Ran for like 10 plus years. Easy.
Yeah.
I remember it ending because that's when they were finishing up TGI Friday. So like Family Matters went away and Step by Step and all these other shows and stuff at that time.
And you remember Steve Urkel's original love interest that like the young lady that was kind of obsessed with him?
Oh, yeah. She's a little younger, though, right? Was she younger?
No, she was actually like older than everybody else, but she looked super young.
Right.
And then that actress ended up passing away from cancer while the show was still
going. No, I didn't know that. Way to bring the mood down. But
I was just always like one of those things like Laura Winslow is a very pretty woman, but I was always confused as to like, dude, this woman's a fox. Like, I don't see what the problem is.
Wasn't she younger though? Wasn't that when she in the middle child's age group? Am I misremembering this?
Who, the Steve Urkel's love interest?
The one you're speaking about. I thought she was purposely played younger because she was kind of like annoying. She was kind of like, oh, you're annoying and you have a crush on me. Get away from me.
I'm not really sure. I can't.
You don't know the lore of Family Matters?
No,
off the top of your head.
I know the lore of Family Matters. I don't know.
Didn't she become a porn actress too? Somehow that all comes back to Cronenberg.
I don't really remember. Oh, yeah. Poor girl. Anyway. Yes, they mentioned it in Yellow Jackets.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's funny.
Because what year is this supposed to be? 98?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so like it's late 90s, so they can have as much live songs as possible.
Yeah, which I'm here for the PJ Harvey stuff.
Yes.
But it's supposed to be like,
Jim Blossoms.
I guess at this point it's 1999, right?
I don't know.
Right, 18 months later, right?
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's 1999.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a year.
So Slipknot just debuted, right? So where's the Slipknot songs? Death Tones have been around.
Yeah, it's true. Stained somewhere, Stained. Lurking.
Marilyn Manson is like a fucking megastar now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But let's keep playing fucking live, yeah.
Yeah. But they should just do more Gin Blossoms drops too, because I love them. Love me some Gin Blossoms. Yeah. Excellent band. One album. I only had one good album, but man, it's a good one.
Let's get some Mighty Mighty Bosstones. No, I'm just kidding. Real Big Fish, Less Than Jake. Let's do some.
They did have Cake. Remember, they did have Cake. I Will Survive, right?
Oh, that's true. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, what, the Tony Hawk game came out in 1997, right?
True. But he had a lot of people, like, first game had, like, Gang of Four and, like,
yeah,
had a, you know what I mean? It was, like, early, early stuff. And then they peppered it with whatever was contemporary at the time before.
CKY.
Dude, I've seen CKY live, not by choice, but they're just part of another show I wanted to watch.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's anyways, how we can improve Yellow Jackets.
That was Yellow Jackets. So, yeah. Ben, what did you think overall of this episode? Do you... sorry.
I thought it was okay. I'm starting to get a little annoyed by some stuff. I think okay. I'm getting a little irritated by some story choices.
I am real quick. I'll just say I absolutely do not like the fact that the show's trying to make it seem like one of our leads killed Lottie, because they purposely set up that Shauna was in Manhattan, right? Ty and Van were definitely in Manhattan. Misty left work early, so clearly they're clumsily setting up the fact that maybe one of these individuals were all in the same city as Lottie, that where she died.
Which it super looks like they're just gonna make Shauna the fucking murderer of everybody.
Yeah, it does seem
that
way.
Annoying me. Yeah.
Which, I mean, all props to, of course,
Melanie Lynskey.
Yeah, because I mean, clearly, she's so likable, even though she's doing terrible things.
Yeah.
You know, she's blaming her friends. She's, you know, behaving very sociopathic, if that's a way to describe it. But
who was on a show that I work on currently for now? What a wonderful human being, Melanie Lynskey. You know who else was on the show recently, and I forgot to mention it? Anna Camp was on the show, and she was so wonderful.
Oh, from Hysteria. Did you?
I didn't have a chance because I was very busy that day, but I wanted to go on because they didn't mention that she was in Hysteria. I wanted to be like, there should have been a fucking second season. I was excited to see where you were going to go with that.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Really cool. Yeah, she did an excellent job. If you guys haven't seen that, check out Hysteria and hear our reviews.
Do it now, actually. We'll pause. We'll wait. Okay, hopefully you guys listen to it.
Got it. Yeah, you're back.
Continue.
Let's start with the flashback stuff. Ben is found guilty. He's not eating. The group decides to kill him firing squad style. Did you see that one coming? Or
no.
They have all this fungi mushroom tea. They're going to decide to waste bullets and fire squad. Okay, Yellow Jackets.
I'm also like Lottie fucking forcing Akilah to go down the, the thing. And then get, like I had mentioned last episode, hey, let's just bring in some candles to find out where she's at. I'm sure it's going to be fine. They should have blown up. Maybe this is what it is. Maybe it's kind of like Lost again, right? And they're all kind of dead already because they blew themselves up in the cave.
Well, I think they're all tentatively all behaving the way they're behaving because of the gas, overexposure to the gas.
That's what I mean. Like, what type of gas is this that's not also going to be flammable? Like,
right. Yeah. So I don't
carbon monoxide. They're running generators. What's happening is in the process of filming this show and running all the Jennies, they didn't realize that the stuff was seeping into the sets and all the actors are getting sick.
Right. It's just cave gas. That's all it is, dude. Just fucking cave gas is
a millennia of Neanderthal farts just built up.
You know, remember Jurassic Park, that little crystal mosquito? They're like that. But gas. it's not my, these hallucination stuff is not my favorite.
That like Gulliver's Travels style. Ben is being tied up and thrown.
Ben is the bridge. Yes. Yeah. I don't know. I'm glad they're giving Akilah something more to do. Right. I mean, she's kind of, Even though I think this is the third time they've recast this actress, this part, but yeah, I'm liking the emphasis on Aquila. That's something different. I don't know how that will fix into the show long term, or if she even survives. My suspicion is she doesn't, but I don't know.
And also, Travis has been reduced even more to just kind of incidentally there and helping Lottie.
Pretty much, yeah. He's gone with all the mushroom tea he's drinking, right? I mean,
I guess so. I mean, you do build up a tolerance. I think he would just have less cares or not care about what's going on. That's kind of what happens, right? So I don't know why. Like, I think Lottie's slipping some more stuff in.
Yeah, like, and
let's go meditate in our cave saunas, and it's those caves. They just all sit in there.
I mean, I do like that we're kind of seeing now Shauna is the leader, right? It's kind of like Lottie is in the background, but she's pulling all the strings, right? Like, she chose Natalie to lead after the Javi's death, right? And that was kind of like the consensus, right? Because I think because Moira, she was more logical. She was like the hunter. She kind of like was, she had a little bit more sway in power, but now dynamics are changing and people are more in the Shauna camp. So Shauna's kind of becoming the leader of this group with Lottie pulling the strings still, because it kind of feels like Lottie was in charge and I don't think she ever relinquished it. She just sort of like is fading more to the back to amass more control or power, because she wants this whatever wilderness craziness to continue, you know? Because she truly is like a believer, you know? So I think I know that one of our complaints was that, like, when are they going to kind of follow through with the Thaisa stuff? And this episode I thought was a good example of mirroring past stuff with present day stuff with Thaisa. I feel like her character hasn't really been focused as much on, because I think it was the draw of the cards. Thaisa ends up going to have to be the one to execute Ben. And
I do like Van trying to awaken the primitive side of her that hasn't really been shown up at all this season.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like they forgot about that. I mean, didn't forget about it, but they're just like saving it for whatever reason. Maybe Van is her, what grounds her.
Right. Well, we do have that scene, to jump a little bit to the present day stuff. We do have that scene where she has to go meet up with Simone and Sammy, you know, her kid and ex-wife, I think, at this point. Yes. And Thaisa is all like, oh, it's your mommy and stuff like that. And Sammy like doesn't want to talk to her. So we know that Sammy can see the evil side of Ty.
Yeah.
So is that what he saw? The dirt eating evil side of Ty? The primitive side of Ty? Maybe the primitive side of Ty is the one in control. Because that's the only because Sammy had that like whole second season or first season, right? Where like she sees the monster.
Yeah. But so, I'm also wondering if that's just because Ty is like full on like back into wilderness.
Yes.
Believing.
I think that's what I truly believe that's what the case is. Yeah.
Because it's just like her. Not like the primitive side is completely taken over. It's just that she's accepted it like back as a part of her personality, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know,
she does like horrible stuff, like run into the wilderness and eat dirt.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's horrible stuff.
Yeah. She had glimpses of that when she was younger too, in previous seasons. But also we could say,
do you feel like they're leading towards, or like I feel like it's implied in my head now that Shauna started the fucking fire.
It's hard to say because she was kind of going through some shit, right? Cause she lost her kid. She lost her friend. It's plausible, but I honestly deeply think I think it's Lottie started the fire. That's what I think.
That would make sense too.
She wanted to get them out, that's a little implausible too. Cause like she was kind of like, was all about all of that, right? That cabin and everything going on with her. in the beginning, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in.
I'll just quickly say that I guess I don't like when Achilles are split. So that was a very difficult scene to watch ever since Pet Sematary. Never liked it. Trauma.
Yeah.
So anytime there.
I do like how Shauna's like, no, you got to accept your side too. And then Melissa, right? Is that her name?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's his Achilles on his only working leg.
Yeah.
Only leg.
The only leg. Yeah.
And then they walk into the tent together, and Shauna's just like, yeah, you mine now.
Start holding hands and cronin and bonin.
Cronin and bonin.
They don't really they don't explicitly say whether that relationship was sexual. I mean, I would assume so, but it's not confirmed. But are we still on board?
I would hope that if it is sexual, that Melissa washed her fucking hands and so did
she. Dude.
Human blood.
They're primal, bro. They're just going at it. Just dirt and then shit and blood everywhere.
Gets super horny and she's like, oh, she just starts eating dirt in front of them. Like, ah, blah, 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 blah.
What the fuck is going on in this show?
It's directed by David Cronenberg.
Barely. So I think the other thing I wanted to mention was before that was, I don't know.
So,
not a fan of
present day stuff is kind of boring.
Did not care for any of the present day stuff. I was going to mention, I didn't care for Shauna and Walter teaming up. It's adorable as they looked in their red hats. It just didn't work for me. I don't
Walter's
like
being a dick about figuring out who killed Lottie. Like he wants to do it before Misty.
I kind of feel, yeah. And I think that's actually
he killed Lottie?
No, I don't think he did. I felt like he's going through too much trouble trying to get information to help Misty and stuff. I don't know.
That's what I'm wondering if he's actually somebody from that era too, and they just don't know who he is.
Oh, that'd be a good twist. How they weave that in would be interesting. The character of Walter is having some hiccups in my opinion, because I like the idea that he was right about how her friends or whatever, the other Yellow Jackets, treat Misty. He was correct about that. Yeah. How they just don't appreciate her, take advantage of her, blame her or whatever. But at this point, like Misty's already said, like, dude, like, fuck off. Like, what? Why hasn't he, like, now it's becoming like almost stalkerish, sad loser. Like, why hasn't he moved on yet? Because she's clearly like not coming back, right?
No.
At this point.
Yeah.
Because, I mean
like, fingers crossed, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They'll get it together because they seem well enough. But, I mean, if Misty doesn't want it, I mean, Walter behaving this way is not... He's kind of treading into, like, the weird stalker territory. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I think that's poor writing. That's unintentionally poor writing on characterization of the character. You know,
I'd say pretty much anybody's present day storyline is kind of poor writing right now. Maybe it'll pay off. I don't know. I'm just not into it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. This was kind of a rough one. okay. My other thought, if Hilary Swank is Melissa, I just had brainstormed who they actually should have cast.
Cool.
Katie Sackhoff.
That would work. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you kind of see it. I just occurred to me this episode.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
There's no horses in Yellow Jacket, bro.
Britney Spears.
Any blonde woman. I think Katie Sackhoff could have done it because Katie Sackhoff's kind of like, you know, she could play very tough, very kind of.
Tori Spelling.
There it is. Jenny Garth. You're just going to name. Yeah. Alrighty.
Owen Wilson.
okay. Owen Wilson. Yeah. The dog from Marley and Me could have done it.
Dead.
Bro. Spoilers. Wow. That That really hit hard. Okay. All right, let's segue right a little long, but let's move over to our main review of Scanners. Is it Scanner? Oh, Scanners from 1981. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Coming in at number 3 for David Cronin and Bonenberg Scanners. No mind orgy will commence.
It's true.
Just that once, you know, I was like, hey, these guys are going to bone each other's brains.
They got condom, lube, and toys and stuff. Nothing. Nothing.
Coming in at number 2 for Scanners, several people will be fired.
Yep.
And coming in at number 1 for David Cronenberg's Scanners, special people mindful of others.
There you go. Nicely said.
So I think this movie is based around my reaction every time I hear Imagine Dragons play on the radio, or like the way they start to jiggle their heads and stuff, or 21 Pilots, which I got to see in concert, not by choice. There's only
by duress.
Yeah. And I can tell you, I was like, oh, maybe somebody's just scanning my brain because my head's gonna fucking explode.
Yeah. So this is a movie I think we both have seen.
Yes.
Previously. I have, but it had actually been a minute since I've seen it though.
I was gonna say, I think last time I saw this movie had to have been probably college.
Yeah, I would say the same decade. At least a decade. Yeah. Because I probably saw it around more or less around the same time. And I'm going to say, I think this movie's really boring. Is that?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I fucking love it.
I don't know why. The things that work, right? Like,
yeah.
They have a iconic scene of the guy getting scanned and his head blows up. Amazing. You see it everywhere. It's every GIF, everything possible. Amazing effect. Truly, like, iconic. And there's some, like, nice performances. I just couldn't get into the story. The story just left me cold.
That's where, yeah, I was actually super into it. I think I never really paid attention to how much detail Cronenberg put into, like, tying up every loose end in this movie. I never paid attention to that. And I was like, this is fucking cool. This is rad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the underground of like, oh, there's other scanners that are trying to fight this company. And then, well, that's a spoiler, so I'm not going to explain what happens.
Yeah.
But no, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I always remember thinking like the main guy was kind of crappy, but I think it really suits the character. He's just like emotionless, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's great. And then Michael Ironside.
Oh, clearly the best part of the movie.
Comb over.
Yeah. Holding on to it. Thin haired, comb over Michael Ironside. He's excellent in the movie, by the way. I did like his performance. Michael Ironside just has one of those faces and voices where he's just meant to play bad guys.
Yeah. Or. What was the one where he was a bad guy? Turbo Kid?
Yes.
Is it Turbo Kid?
Yeah, I think he is the bad guy. Kind of like bald, pirate-ish guy. He looks like Dennis Hopper from Waterworld.
Futurist. Yeah, exactly.
I believe it is. Not quite sure why this movie. It just feels very straightforward, right? Like, you have this guy who has this psychic power ability, and then he falls into a world where there are other people with the same powers, and he needed to infiltrate them to try to bring them down, right?
Yes.
That was the setup.
Because Michael Ironside is essentially like a
Magneto. Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe we don't know the full story because there are two more scanners, not by David Cronenberg, but
okay. Like, what do you mean? Like, it's the same premise? Just it made
there's two more Scanners movies, like Scanners 2 and Scanners 3.
Oh,
not by David Cronenberg, but there are two more movies.
Yeah.
We'll get to those later. I'm sure they're masterpieces.
We'll run out of horror movies eventually. Just start going through those sequels.
But yeah, there's a lot of interesting. I really like that the artist guy, the guy that has, he's like a little mentally unstable. Like I think I just like how they go into the lore of, hey, certain scanners cope with, you know, they basically have voices in their heads, right?
Mm-hmm.
By doing certain things, and certain people want to take control of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, what do we say so it's not spoiling anything? I don't want to spoil anything.
I think I think it's probably, as far as Cronenberg goes, I think it's very kind of like straightforward in its approach. I mean, it's sci-fi premise. You can kind of like, if you've seen like any kind of contemporary sci-fi thriller, it's kind of like similar in plot, right? Like, I mean, this is almost a plot to like Gangs of New York, right? Like,
yeah, just, I mean, made in 1981. So I would say you got to give it a plus for that.
Yeah, and you know, I will say I did like the cinematography. I liked that, especially early on when they're in like the mall. The mall really looks of its time, right? They had all these all these light bulbs and like metal and sharp edges and stuff. Like, there was some nice location. Then
they didn't show it, but like he makes that wasp lady's head. I don't know if he kills her. It's not shown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that the conference room where the guy's head explodes.
Mm-hmm. So what was the plan there? The guy with the glasses is a scanner, right? And he was supposed to demonstrate how he could scan the other guy, but Michael Ironside is more powerful scanner, and
he's also older by a lot, apparently. There's like some sort of storyline later that it's unheard of that they reach the age that they're at, and then they say that they're like 35, and I'm like, what? That you're gonna say they were like 45, not even like 55.
Mm-hmm.
Because the guy whose head he blows up is obviously not in his 20s. I mean, I hope not. That would suck for him. He's got a real Jason Alexander thing happening.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's just going down a list trying to kill all the other scanners that don't join him? Question mark.
Right.
Because
He's thinking like he's the next step in evolution, right? Like, and the humans are scared of him. Yes. So they try to murder him.
What is it? Dieter Tantz picks up Cameron Val.
Right.
At the beginning, right?
Right. He's the...
Like, I'm gonna hone your skills. Which I really enjoy. He's like, because I'm a professor in scanners. I'm like, oh, where do you get that degree?
It's
you gonna teach this guy how to use his mind control powers, even though
it's more of a honorary degree than a physical degree.
And it's like, why aren't you afraid he's gonna use it on you? He's like, no, my brain's fucked up, don't worry about it.
I was reading some of the trivia on IMDb, and it says that Cronenberg found this movie the most frustrating to make because he had to rush through production. Filming began without a finished script and was roughly 2 months. Oh, they had to stop filming for 2 months, although financially they could qualify for a write-off. So there was like a start-stop period. And then he didn't get along with Patrick McGoohan and Jennifer O'Neill. So kind of interesting. So I guess he found the film frustrating to make. I mean, like, in all intents and purposes, I think it's like, I know I said that it was kind of like I wasn't crazy about it, but like, I think it's a competently made movie. I mean, I didn't even know this before, but I mean, I still feel like the points and the things that he's trying to convey or get across, like,
it's a much more matured filmmaking style than what Rabbit was, I think.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. The cinematography's better. I think the story's a little better, even though it wasn't complete. Like, I still feel like there's a beginning, middle, and end here to follow. Easy story to follow. Good performances. Crazy, you know, FX scenes and stunts. Even though, like, he tends to have this thing where, like, cars crashing, they blow up, which doesn't...
Yeah.
Not plausible, but he's also like, exciting
with,
to watch.
With their mind control powers, he can make them spontaneously combust.
That's true. That's
but
true.
He can make the wall catch fire before the person catches fire. I'm just kidding. That's how they got it. They did the gimmick.
Yeah.
Did you read? So this part of the trivia too, Michael Ironside was originally hired for a bit part of one or two scenes and was paid like $5,300.
Oh, and he got a bigger part out of it.
He is like.
The main antagonist.
Arguably the most important part of the movie, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with that, yeah. Well, that's purely just his Michael Ironside's talent, right? I mean.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Just be like, oh, we got to give this guy more. He's doing such a great job.
And I would say, so this film is a part of the Criterion Collection, so now we officially have both actually seen a movie from the Criterion Collection. Just kidding. I've just been reading this meme go around where it's like, I just want for once somebody to go into the Criterion Collection room and be like, I don't know what any of these movies are.
I actually think that if I go, I would be like, I know a lot of the American movies, but a lot of these other European movies.
Like, you know all the Kurosawa movies.
No, that's true. I mean, I haven't seen them all. I couldn't.
There's High and Low, and also there's other movies like
Old Boy,
directed by somebody else.
Is that in Criterion?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh.
Is that Takashi Mike? Am I making that up?
No, it's... Fuck, what's his name?
It's the same guy. Who did The Audition? I'm going to get all these.
That's Mike. That's yeah. That's the guy she make. The other guy is, oh my God.
David Cronenberg.
David Cronenberg.
There you go.
He's the Asian David Cronenberg. No. yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty sure there's nobody knows. Nobody knows why. Nobody knows. I figured this out.
Yeah.
Wong, you know, is it? Fuck. Is it Wong? Is there a Wong? Park.
Park Chan-wook.
Park Chan-wook. Yeah, there you go. I was close. Yeah. Wong Kar Wai was like in my brain too. I just was thinking of what is the that movie? Fuck.
Oh, Scanners?
You Scanners. I was thinking of 2046 with what is it? Something for love, or I don't know, whatever the fuck. Let's move on.
Scanners. Do we go into spoilers? I mean, we can also talk about, so what happens throughout the movie is you find that Michael Ironside is able to make just basically drones out of people.
Okay.
Which I thought was pretty cool, right? He's just like mind controlling a bunch of people to go and attack everybody.
So do we know what scanning is per se? Is it loose so they can do multiple things?
I think so, right? It's like some sort of, they do call it some sort of like telepathy.
Right.
I assume it's basically whatever Charles Xavier has.
Whatever Carrie had, right?
Yeah. Yes. Sure. Yeah.
This is also
pretty loose, right? It's like,
yeah. Like, I mean, well, this is the heyday of like telepathic movies. So yes. This was a big deal back then. So
guy's head explode, you're gonna make people catch fire. You're gonna make people fling back. I don't know.
I kind of feel like this romance was kind of shoehorned overall. Like, I didn't much care for the Jennifer O'Neill character, Kim or whatever. Like,
they were in each other's minds. It's the most romantic thing. And then they both
experienced, how do you know that?
They both experienced death without actually dying because they were having the scanner orgy with the mines, and a bunch of people got shot while they were doing it.
Okay, so she, part of her power is that she can kind of make you believe you're seeing something you're not supposed to see, because she tricks that guard later on and turns into her mother, which I thought was a great sequence. It changed up the, where scanners are going to make your nose bleed and blow out your brain or something. And he just, yeah, they did that scene where like the guard, they made the guard see his mother, which he felt like some sort of guilt for, which made him turn into like a, started weeping over it.
Which I got scared because this is David Cronenberg. And as soon as like the guard started seeing like his mom instead of her, I was like, oh no, he's going to try.
He slept with his mom.
This is what David Cronenberg movies are like. And then she's going to have a penis monster in her armpit and it's going to fucking kill him.
Well, yeah. I mean, he always has some weird, provocative thing. Because like even, I know I should have probably mentioned this in the last week's review, right, of Rabid, was that one doctor had his, it's surmised that his one doctor had his baby killed by the mother who became Rabid or whatever, and killed them all and stuff like that, and then eventually kills him. So that's some fucking dark shit. I mean, not to us, right? Because we always watch a lot of baby eating stuff. So it's just like whatever.
That was pretty dark. Also, like, she goes to, like, a porn theater. I know we should talk about this later. She goes to a porn theater and, like, there's, like, some dude that's, like, just sexually assaulting her. Like, I'm like, what the fuck am I watching?
Exactly, yeah. It was the 70s. This is how the movies were made, John. I don't know if you knew that.
The good old days.
The good old days.
When America was great. This is Canada, by the way.
I think you can easily kind of laugh at some of the faces they make in this movie, but
oh yeah, for sure. But they do; it's still pretty good. Like, it's not.
Yeah, it's
some of them are. I thought about that too. I was like, "How do you?" David Cronenberg's like, "All right, now start shaking your head."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's like inducing seizures on all his actors. Like, we need to make this real.
Yeah,
I have this drug called Extends. I'm just kidding.
It's drug. Yeah.
That was one of the through lines too, right? That there is this drug that suppressed their scanning abilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I guess came into play at the end of the movie. What else? The artist guy I thought was pretty cool. Like, the actual art that they made for the movie I thought was pretty rad. It's like huge fucking pieces.
Yeah.
He hangs out with the main protagonist, Michael, the artist scanner, to have a conversation with him inside of the mouth of one of the things, right? Or like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did kind of like all that. I thought that stuff was actually kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But it kind of just comes and goes, right? We're immediately back on a chase, right? From whatever Mike Weinstein's doing. Because that would have been interesting where, like, he sort of is tasked to go infiltrate this group, and then he kind of, like, sees the positives of the community they've built, right? But it's sort of kind of loosely explored, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's only because of one of the reveals at the end of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, stay consistent with that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But the way the movie ends, I thought it would have been interesting for there to be more, like, an extra scene, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, it definitely has the ending is very, very dark. Very dark. So, fitting. It almost feels to me, a little unearned. I don't know. It works, and I get what he's doing with it, right? But like, I just didn't. It, for whatever reason, I don't know what. Maybe it was me. Maybe I'm just in like not in a great mood.
Should we get into spoilers so we can flesh out what you're talking about? Because you're talking about it without talking about it.
Yes. Okay.
It's unfair to the audience. It's just because we are also scanners and we're talking about it in our brains.
Okay. Let's move over to spoilers.
Wait. No. Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers. Well, there's a lot to unpack here.
Okay. Step by step, John. We'll do step by step. Or Family Matters. Go ahead.
Dieter, what is his name? The weird professor guy that's also like a philosopher, I guess.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Allegedly created Michael Ironside and Michael Vell. I mean, like, well, I forgot what Michael Ironside's name is in the movie. Daryl Revac, right?
Revac, yeah.
Yeah. Revac and Vell, he created them, and they're actually like brothers. So he can make like a super scanner. Mm-hmm. And scanners are created because of this drug that was suppressing them was meant for something, and they were giving it to nursing mothers back in like whatever, I guess the 40s, 50s, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that created scanners by accident.
Yeah.
And all this is, again, coming full circle with capitalism in Michael Cronenberg films. And Revox is trying to take control of everybody as being like the number one scanner, but he's also working for the competitor, the competing company.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it's like an even bigger twist. It's like, oh, he's actually working for like the same exact people that want to be the bigger company.
Right. He's not like this freedom fighter guy fighting for scanners rights or anything. Yeah. Else. He's just working for somebody else.
So yeah, that's where they come into play, and how Vell had purposely been dumbed down to just be like a incel or whatever, not incel, but like a
Tate brother.
Tate brother. Yeah. No, they use like a certain word where I was like, I don't know I guess we don't know what it was.
Insolent,
like
or no, like he was purposely.
They worded like he was kept under ice, but it looked like he was just like living on the streets. They almost made it seem like he was going to be primitive, but he wasn't stupid. He was like well educated. Like,
right. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. So yeah, that is how scanners were created. Philosopher Dieter guy created Michael Ironside and Revac and Vell.
Mm-hmm.
And now
technically they're brothers. Yeah. They're going to fight each other. Yeah.
Now they're going to fight.
Yes.
And
Vell loses.
Oh, but does he? Cause he actually switches his mind to Revac. So I'm assuming Revac went into Vell's body and died. And, there's like a weird, the reveal of that happening is he's like, no, I'm okay. Even though he's like hiding his head for whatever reason, like in the corner with his jacket, like he's hiding like a vampire.
Yeah, for a big reveal. Yeah.
And he shows his eyes are blue, like because Vell's eyes were blue, and he's like, I'm okay. Everything's going to be okay now. I thought the movie had earned like an extra scene of him going back and just fucking like destroying the other company because they think it's Revac.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, that's this movie. I don't know. Yeah, it's essentially how it ends.
Yeah. I think what didn't work was, I don't know. I always took it like, I don't know. So you're saying that that part that you described was not, I didn't interpret it that way. I took it more like Michael Ironside's Revac killed what's his name, and it was like mimicking him, like because he was because what's her face has this, Kim has the same power, right? Where she can make you believe what she wants. And I thought he was doing that, but we were just seeing it from that perspective. And Kim was seeing something else that we didn't see as an audience.
Well, I think like they switched minds. I think because Kim walks in and is fully aware that that's supposed to be Vel in the jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because there's a moment right when they're having the mind fight, the scanning fight, the scan off, if you will. And it's Michael Vel is obviously losing because his skin is like starting to peel off and he's like losing control of like his thoughts. But then right before like he bursts into flames, he goes like suddenly very still and stiff and starts staring right at Michael Ironside.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Ironside starts to lose control of his face. Like it starts like the
peeling and bubbling
and start bubbling mm-hmm. and he's like losing control and Michael Vel is like fine. And then there's like a, you know, like a burst. And I think that is just, they switch minds.
Okay.
And also that's why, yeah, his eyes are a different color. And
right. Yeah. What was I going to say? Is that why they showed that? What I thought was actually quite interesting was the, him like merging with the computer over the phone.
Yes. I think like he would be more powerful than Revok if he had as much time to hone his scanning abilities. Cause I did think that I thought that part was badass where he's like infiltrating the fucking
computer.
he's hacking the mainframe with his mind.
Yeah, actually one of my favorite shots was the melting phone. I thought that was excellent.
Yeah,
like
that was fucking cool.
That was really cool.
They just poured like it was like black liquid or whatever in the phone receiver and just pouring out.
Because they were trying to shut down whatever this master computer was or something, right? Which was
kind of corny, but I still thought it was fun and funny. Is it done? He's like, yeah, what were you expecting? Like, there's one guy going, like, what were you expecting?
Yeah,
it's not going to blow up. And then it fucking starts blowing up. Everybody's like flying back.
Yeah, that was probably one of my favorite sequences. That, and I think that particular moment kind of echoes a lot of what Cronenberg wants to get to, right? This merging of like technology and human. That's a theme he explores later.
Oh, shit. He is Elon Musk.
He's Elon Musk.
Oh no!
He's gonna fuck that car.
He's gonna make a cyber suck.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know why that never occurred to me, but I guess I interpreted that wrong. Yeah. The ending.
Michael Ironside won.
Yeah, that Michael Ironside won. Yeah.
But yeah, I think Michael Vel won, but at a cost, right? Like at a high price.
Right. Right. He lost his physical body. Yeah. Oh,
well, physical body. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This great set of like,
what a downgrade. You go from Cameron Vale to Revok, balding man. Yeah,
exactly.
So do you think like, it's one of those where like he'll grow his own held out or.
Yeah. You're forced to wear a black vest for the rest of your life. White long sleeve t-shirts and black vests. You just, everybody thinks you're a waiter and it's like, no, I'm a scanner.
What a downgrade. It's truly the darkest ending possible. Having to live as Michael Ironside the rest of your life.
And have this blossoming career.
Yeah. Oh, because the other guy had like a nice, like full head of hair, little, you know, black, you know, pepper in his hair.
Siberian curly. Husky, blue eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. Downgrade. Michael Ironside.
Got resting bitch face, a comb over,
and stuff. A fucking scar in the middle of his temple.
Yeah, which I don't think I ever caught why that was there, but
he was trying to get it out, right? Isn't that what that doctor seen the videotape of him? He was essentially saying like he thought that was his third eye, right? His Gaian mind or whatever he's controlling. So he was trying to drill it to free it because it was so much pressure or something like that. I think it was. Idea. That's why he drew. He bandaged himself and drew an eye on it, which I think is funny.
Oh, that's right.
But yeah, that was funny. All right. Do you have any other thoughts you want to
No, other than that, I really like this movie. I'll be honest, it's in my top three Cronenberg films.
Hmm. Interesting. I'd have to think about that.
It extends.
I don't know. I mean, because we're about to hit his two big ones, big right? Ones, yeah. The Dead Zone and The Fly. Videodrome.
I do like The Fly. It's just...
Are you a fan of Crash?
Yeah, that's where I was going to go. I like Crash. But if we're going to do like horror movies...
The horror movies...
Still including Crash, yeah. No, I was
kidding. James Spader, man. Horrifying. Yeah. Naked James Spader.
And what's his name? Casey Jones? Fuck.
He has a hard name to pronounce. Codius. Yes, yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Tobias Cody? I don't know.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. In terms of just horror movies, straight horror movies. Yeah, that'd be a little. I would say that's top three. Yeah. Well, I mean, Videodrome horror movie?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Right? It's
clearly his best movie. It's his masterpiece.
I don't know if anything can top that, to be honest.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, Scanners is up there. I definitely think he's, you know, his next movie is like The Dead Zone, I think, or soon to be next movie, right? Around the same time, which was his mainstream hit. But anyways, all right. You want to rate the movie?
Yes.
John, how many sexy spooky bones do you give it?
Rate the movie. I'm gonna give David Cronenberg's Scanners 8 sexy spooky bones.
I think I'm gonna go.
You're gonna give it a 6, aren't you?
6. Yes.
Yeah. You know how I knew that? Because I scanned your brain.
You did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Surely. Yeah. I would say 6.
It was like Ty Siegel, 6.
There's a lot of Ty Siegel in your brain.
You've been listening to a lot of Ty Siegel and Lambrini Girls.
Okay. Yeah. Side note, I listen to that at work and nobody likes it. Nobody likes
Lambrini Girls or Ty Siegel?
Both. No, I have no fans. We got no takers at work. Well, Cuntology 101. Excellent song.
I told a coworker to listen to that because he listens to an album every day and he actually listened to it at work. He's like, man, that song Cuntology 101. I was like, it's fucking rad, right?
Dude, like, yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah. It's so good, man. All right. Let's end the show.
You're going to give it a 6?
I'll give it a 6. Yeah, I'll give it a 6. I mean, 6.5. I think I'm a little more swayed because I think I understand the ending better.
Which is a pretty rad ending, right? When you think about it.
Yeah. I think it's probably... could have been fleshed, that thought of him entering another body could have been fleshed out a little better, a little more clear, because I think they're playing a little fast and loose with the powers, like what is defined by their powers and what can they do.
Definitely. But you know how like he inhabited a bunch of other people. Michael Ironside did. I mean,
true.
So the potential was there. It's just
right. Okay. Yeah. He was just like, because of their fighting, he was challenged to that. Like, oh, I can completely scan and take over this other body.
Which it could have also quite possibly just been like let me do a switcheroo real quick, and Michael Ironside was just like, oh fuck, you know, like it could have been one of those two. Like, I didn't expect that. No, I'm dead.
It's true. Yeah. Okay. I'll give it I think 6. I'm comfortable with the 6. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening, and as always,
stay spooky.